Every student is capable. I know there are students that have difficult situations, come from a different background, but they're able to do things. We're just not finding the way to reach them. I think that's my biggest struggle is I think the divide between adult and student both stuck on their own ways and allowing us to come in the middle and meet in the middle. You can blame both sides. I think that's the biggest struggle I have right now and challenge is finding that middle ground and allowing us to work together. I feel like the world right now we live in, it's a divide. We're too polarizing. Let's come together. And that's sad every day, but I think that's the biggest over-encompassing problem that I see in education right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Sam Wakefield. Sam is the executive director at AFSA Charter School in Vadnais Heights, Minnesota, which I just learned is outside of St. Paul. So, Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me. I'm excited to have some time with you.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit, Sam, about AFSA, why this charter school, and how you got into this role as executive director.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I never thought I would be a director. I always looked at that job as not my thing. I started as a FIAT and health teacher and a coach. I'm like, this is the dream. This is cake. Like, how could you ever leave this job? Like, it's the best. I got to wear shorts to work and play and hang out with the kids. But over your career, you want to improve and get better. And over my history, right. I like student behavior. And that's kind of triggered the admin world. And I just slowly became like a dean of students, an assistant principal. And then this job kind of fell in my hat with some turnover here. And I applied here 3 years ago and I explained to all my tours and students a little bit about our school. Like, I knew nothing about our charter school, right? You said AFSA Charter, which is the Academy for Sciences and Agriculture, and no one knows what agriculture was. So, it was four jobs I applied to. It was number four out of four because I just didn't know. It was just a job on a job posting, right? But once I came here, then I understood what it meant. And it went from four to one. I didn't even take the other three because I saw what was happening here and I wanted to join that. And I just slowly bought into here and the community accepted me. So now I'm sitting here as the executive director now and 15 years ago in the gym, I never thought I'd be doing this, but that's education. That's the point of school. And you're always wanting to get better and learn.
And that's life. Yeah. Life takes you down all kinds of roads you never thought. I always told my husband, I said, man, our kids, they stretch us in ways I never thought I'd do. I never thought I'd be the mom, the wrestling mom in the stand screaming for my kid to flip him over, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying half the time, but they do. Life just takes you. Yep. And it is a ride that is, there's only one way to get off. Right. And that's not a way most people, and we all do it, but let's not do it anytime soon. Right.
No.
So tell me about AFSA. I was just so you know, I'm a little bit of an agricultural kid myself. I was born and raised in Grand Island, Nebraska.
All right.
So my grandparents lived on 120-acre dry land farm for my father was raised on. So I know a little bit about it, but I would love to hear, and I'm sure you have way more knowledge than I do. I just grew up in that environment. So
I came in with nothing. So like I was on ground floor. I was like, I give my tours. I'm like, I was you. Like I'm still learning. I think the biggest component, what I explain is I know agriculture, everyone thinks farming. Everyone thinks we're a farm school. Mm-hmm. You have to be a farmer. And that's not what it is. Like I was about 80% of at least Minnesota agricultural jobs are actually outside of the farm. So we have a lot of big Minnesota corporations like General Mills and Cargill that it's agriculture. It's where everything comes from, our food, our clothes, everything. So we have classes like food science, like we still have welding, we have wood shop. We actually have a greenhouse on our high school campus where students learn how to plant, take care of the plants, water them, and they're in charge, they're hands-on, and then we sell all of our product back to the public on Mother's Day weekend. So it's all these things that teaching our students that there's way more in agriculture than just the whole farming thing, even though farming is a big part of it.
That's just where it starts.
Yes,
farming
exactly.
is where it starts.
So it's trying to teach kids different ways. I know college is great, but we try giving students a different blends. Like our school is a normal school. You can get your diploma. You can come here and know nothing about it, want nothing to do with it, just want my high school diploma, and that's fine. But it's just like our extra lens, I say, that it allows students another opportunity for leadership, to expand their knowledge, to use their hands, to get out and experience what it means to be in the agricultural and science. The science is a big part of it as well. So it's just an extra component of our school, but that's a little bit what it is.
And science and agriculture go together, right? Yep. They just really do. You cannot. I mean, there's so much science that goes into how you grow your crops, rotate your crops and all of that from that perspective. But then what happens to it after it is harvested, and where does it go? And what do you do with a soybean? And how do you keep corn from rotting in the bin and all of that stuff too? So, fascinating. And cotton, you know, that was something when we moved, we lived in Michigan. I told you when we started, we lived in Michigan for 19 years and we moved down to Corpus Christi, Texas 4 years ago. I didn't realize there were cotton fields on the way down. And I was like, oh my gosh, honey, look at that. Cotton, that's cotton. And it was, of course, blooming because it was harvest time when we were moving down. And I was like, I didn't grow up around cotton. I don't know that much about cotton. I mean, I know that if you pick it, you can, from the movies, you can get cuts on your hands. That's about it. You know, but that's, I mean, I'm wearing a shirt. It's, you know, it can be synthetic or it can be cotton or it can be a blend or whatever. And that's all part of it too.
So,
very cool.
Just an extra little lens. So,
So how do you, as an executive director, then, advertise and get kids to come to your school? What is the draw? I mean, obviously the agriculture and the science piece of it, but what is that? How do you guys as a corporate entity, because you're still a school and you're still trying to get kids to come, how do you get them interested in coming to your school?
Well, that's a really actually good question, because you should take the agricultural and science out, because that's not why students are coming here. To be I said before, and like I talk to families, we're always, you know, doing the Google ads and having events. But when I speak to them, I'm like 95% of the kids that come here don't know what it means or why they're coming. They're not coming for our name. It's through what has been told to them from other families, other students. And a big thing is we have a kind of two sayings. One was it's a place to fit in and a place to stand out. So we're a small community. Every teacher knows everyone. We have about between 370 and 450 students, depending on the year and stuff like that. But like, it's the impact we have on students. That's the number one goal. Agricultural and science, great, getting math and all that. But we individualize to make sure that each student is successful, and we pave a path for them based on what they need. We have a very unique student body. I have students that love the ag world and go headfirst into that. We have students that want to be athletes or doctors or lawyers. We have kids that want to go to college, some that want to go welding in the trades. And we have some kids that don't know or come to us that need a fresh start. So like it's allowing us to adapt to every student. That's what brings students here. A lot of them said, come here. They've did a huge impact on my student. We have it's a small class size. It's allowed students to be themselves. And
awesome.
It's a place to fit in and stand out was our motto that we always live by. So.
Yeah. So do you start? What grade do you start in? And do you go all the way through high school?
We're the whole thing. We have pre-K. We added last year all the way to 12th grade. So we kind of grew backwards. I wasn't here through the growth. We've been here for 24 years. The previous director was here for 23. So I'm the next. I'm learning from the smartest one of them in all, because she has all the knowledge. But we were a ninth, 10th grade. And we kind of slowly grew backwards and into what we are now. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Schools, charter schools, I've seen that as I've done, I think you're like number 184 of these podcasts that I've done. I've talked to little schools, big schools, public schools, charter schools, private schools. I've talked to them all. But one of the things about charter schools that I have seen is they either start somewhere kindergarten and up, or they start high school. And then they go backwards with the kids, or as the kids get advanced, they get, you know, okay, well, now our kids are going to be third graders and fourth graders and 10th graders and et cetera, et cetera. And that's how they grow. So,
yeah, I think the original intent was just to be a high school. That was its original, like, philosophy. It actually came from the U of M because these corporations like Cargill weren't getting the right employees. And then they would go to the U and say, we're not getting the right workers. And then the U would say, well, we're not getting the right students. So it kind of trickled down. And that's kind of how this formed. And then it obviously, just like my career, the school changes and adapts. And here we are today. So.
Yeah. But the history is there. Yep. And so the name sticks, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's fantastic. So tell me about your passions. What things drive you with what you do? Where does Sam fit into all of that?
Where do I fit in? the touche answer of always saying all my family members are educators, right? Because that's where we all say it. And it's true. Mm-hmm. I just really like what I do. I'm busy. The charter school world, I love being in it because you have hands on. I like having my hands on everything and being involved. It's a blessing and a curse. But I really, truly do like making differences in student lives. That's what it comes down to. And I learned that through my education, and I learned that through my experience in teaching. Like, I just truly want to be there for them to make the next step so they don't look back and say, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done it differently. I regret doing this. So I really want students to leave high school, not just the academic part of it, but like to like grow as a person and make an impact when they leave the school. And I think that's why I do what I do. I love working with students. It's hard for me to stay in my office. That's the toughest. This job, I have to, otherwise I have late nights of emailing. Like, we had a cool event yesterday, but I come back to my computer, I'm like, oh gosh, what do I got to do now? But I like being out there. So,
yeah.
And I just, yeah, making a difference. And they make a difference in my life too. That's why I'm probably where I'm at now, is because some student along the way directed me towards where I'm going to go. So it's fulfilling. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I think that I hear a lot from teachers and administrators, is it's a hard job, but it's not a job that you're never going to be a multimillionaire doing this job. But what you're paying forward and what you're given back is and what you do. You don't even get to see all of it. I mean, you know, we get to see some of the rewards of it, but there's so many things that kids are going to remember that you did, that you, it was a typical day, right? And that's cool. That's a really cool thing.
I just found a letter. I was going through some of my stuff in my house, and I found it. It was like my second year teaching, a letter from a senior, like thanking me because she hated gym class. But for some reason we came in, you made it better. I was like, those are the things why I like doing it. Because
yeah.
It was fine. I found it. It was 15 years later, so I kept it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it matters. And she's better because you were in her life, right? It's very, very cool. That's very cool. So what would you say is your biggest challenge?
I think the student, I think we need to, there's two parts of this. Students are changing. I don't think we noticed as much growing up because there wasn't, we always blame social media, but our world is changing, and so are students. And I think sometimes us as educators are not changing as well. So we get in this divide where I've done my way and it's worked for so long. I've taught for 10 years and it worked. Well, we're seeing a shift. And I think if we keep doing the same thing over and over again and it's not working, it's insanity, right? So I think that's the biggest struggle I see. Every student is capable. I know there are students that have difficult situations, come from a different background, but they're able to do things. We're just not finding the way to reach them. I think that's my biggest struggle, is I think the divide between adult and student, both stuck on their own ways, and allowing us to come in the middle and meet in the middle, because you can blame both sides. I think that's the biggest struggle I have right now, and challenge is finding that middle ground and allowing us to work together. I feel like the world right now we live in, it's a divide. We're too polarizing. Let's come together. And it's not every day, but I think that's the biggest overcompassing problem that I see in education right now. So
one thing I often hear from school leaders is, I just want a partner who puts students first. At Lighthouse Therapy, that's exactly what we do. We don't have outside investors and we don't answer to shareholders. Instead, we answer to school leaders like you, those listening to this podcast. Whether you're wanting virtual, hybrid, or in-person therapy, our systems are designed to make your life easier and your team stronger. We are a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn how we can help you support your students this year. Yeah. And it's not a new problem. It's just, I just think as technology and AI especially has become so mainstream in our world. And you look at my generation, because I'm a Gen Xer, I'm 58 years old. I'm older than you. I could probably be your mother. But, but you know, it's like we were the generation that grew up drinking out of the water hose and, you know, get out of the house and be gone until 6 o'clock and then we'll call you and then you can come and eat. And you darn well better be there on time, you know. And our parents didn't worry about us. But I mean, we didn't grow up with helicopter parents, you know. But and there's been this shift. And it's not necessarily a bad shift, but we didn't have computers. We didn't AI. What the heck? You know, 30 years ago, I graduated in 1985. So that's 41 years ago now. So, you know, it's like what we had, I mean, not even cell phones, not even, you know, any of that stuff. And yet, you know, we were fine. We graduated. We survived. We survived without seatbelts, believe it or not. Car seats? What's a car seat, right? But, you know, it's like when you go back and you really look at it and you see some of those memes on social media, it's really kind of funny. The things that like we just, it wasn't anything you ever thought. Lawn darts were fun, man. They were fun. We were throwing them at each other. Good grief. Yeah. And merry-go-rounds. I love merry-go-rounds. That was my absolute favorite. And when they took them off of the playground, I was heartbroken. It's like, oh no, you have to keep the merry-go-round. Anyway, I digress completely. But, you know, that's not the world that we live in today. That is, and it shouldn't be. You know, we should grow and change. But how do you, and I think that as my generation gets older and retires, and this is a sad thing to say, but I truly think that that shift, when that shift happens, that you're going to see more acceptance. And because every generation goes, I know the right way to do it, right? And I'm the one that's in charge. Well, when my generation isn't in charge and a younger generation comes in, I do honestly think, and please don't write me and tell me I'm being narrow-minded, because I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to make a point of there are older people like myself who get it, who are like, we want to embrace a change, but help us, show us how, help us. I half the time I can't even use my phone because I don't know what it's doing, or get on my computer. Well, I have smart people. I run a tech company and my family loves to tease me that I'm the least tech person out of everybody in the company. And yet I'm the CEO. Well, that you what do you do when you don't know? You put really smart people around you, right?
Yeah. And it's the open-mindedness. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to adjust and to learn something new. And that when I went through my schooling, when I learned I wanted to be an administrator, I went through and got your master's and your specialties. And their big thing was your mission statement, right? And I always thought that was goofy. But it's there's some around it and knowing your mission. And I always thought leaders, the best leaders create leaders around them. Because once you get soloed and you think you can do it all yourselves, and I've failed miserably, fell on my face because I thought, I got this. I don't want to burden anyone. I will do it. And then I fail. And I learn, trust the people around you. And it's okay to be vulnerable. And you don't know everything. So just work together. If we could all do that, we would have no issues. But that was not.
Wow. Yeah. Right. If people would just communicate with each other and listen. Yeah.
I told my dean.
And try something new.
My dean of students, like, why won't they just listen to me? Or can't the parents agree with me? I'm like, if all the parents agreed with you and the students listened to you, you would be out of a job. So let's not go down that road. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something I think when you are in a smaller school like you are, how do you work with parents? What is your philosophy when it comes to working with parents?
It's you always got to communicate with them. It gets a little more difficult because they know, like, you know, everyone, right? And they know all the teachers and there's personalities, and we have to, I think the biggest thing is understanding and listening, like you said, in your line of work, listening is key. I want to listen to my parents. I want to listen to my community, and hear what they have to say and then work together to a common goal. So I think that's, it's hard to do. Even if it's, you know, you're in the right, or you know, you did this correctly, you still have to take time to listen, because it's their child, right? That's their, they're taking care of that person and they make the decisions. We are just here to help guide them. They're driving, we're the lines on the road, and they're the car. So don't yell at the driver. But it's just finding common ground, and it's okay to have a disagreement. Like, I'll have parents in my office. It's okay to be mad. It's okay. Let's just work together and just be honest. There's going to be ups and downs, and that's just being, communicate often, right?
One of the things we did a whole series before I started the podcast. We did a whole series on conflict resolution and how to deal with conflict resolution. And one of the things that is that I have always taken away from that, and even before we did that, was there isn't always, like, everybody thinks they're right.
Yep.
Everybody thinks that they are right. I think I'm right. I mean, but I'll tell you, with maturity comes the wisdom of saying, oops, I'm wrong. I made a mistake. It's okay to say I made a mistake, right? And get that, or to look at exactly what you said is like, let's come to a common ground and go, okay, that's not necessarily how I would have done it, but that might work. And it might work better than my plan. But having that, finding that middle place, you know, and I try to stay very, very out of the political arena, because we're so divided in this country anyways, but there's, on both sides, I've said this a million times on the show, I swear I have, either side wants their kids to get a good education, either side, both sides love their children. Both sides want what's best for their children. That's why we're all fighting so hard to get what's best. Now, what I think is best and what you think is best is different, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's just, we have to figure out what that middle ground is so that we can go forward instead of just sitting here and back and forth, right?
I've said the same thing I'm like, we are all in educators. We all are here for a purpose. It's not an easy line of work. There is other jobs that you could go to with less stress. We're not here to terrorize your student. We're here together. So I really like how you stated that. It's 99% of the educators are here to make an impact. So let's just work together.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's the whole point of Brighter Together. You know, it's like, I just want to talk to the people that every single day you're out there, you're fighting for it. You're fighting for your kids. You're fighting for the students that God has put in front of you to serve. And that's it. That's exactly what we do here. We fight to serve those kids, because the devil doesn't want us to be successful. You know, it doesn't, there's no, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to, you know, I never shy away from my faith, but nobody, you know, the universe, if you want to say that, I don't care what you want to call it, but It's not something that is just given to you. It's not something that's given to the kids. They have to do the work. The parents have to help cooperate with the school as well. And the school has to cooperate with the kids. And the kids have to cooperate with the parents in the school. It's all three pieces of that have to come together in order for those kids to be successful. And when you do it well, you get exactly what you've got, which is a beautiful opportunity for kids to learn. And I love the fact that you said at the beginning, learn based on where they are. I'm seeing that more and more. So if you could expand on that just a little bit, like the opportunities that kids have to learn based on where they are and what their interests are, and making it kid-centered, I think that that is such an amazing thing. That's what IEPs are, right? But we've taken the IEP and applied it more. I think that's a simplified analogy, but it's kind of true.
Yeah, it's like the 504 experiences, and parents will come in and say, I have a 504. Man, that's great. I'm going to promise you, though, you'll give us that 504 and you'll forget it exists, because it's just kind of a natural thing we do at our school. We want to meet the needs of the student. But like, what I mean by like meeting where students are, we have such a unique student body that when they come in, my goal is to find out what works for you, what doesn't work, what's your challenges, what's your roadblocks, like, what are you here for? That's a big thing. Like, what's your goal? Let's get you there. All of our goals are different. Some just mm-hmm. need to get out of their senior year. They might have 65% in every single class, but that's winning, right? That mm-hmm. winning looks different yeah. for everyone. So I have kids that want to go on CDE competitions and small engine stuff and go above and beyond and be an FFA member. And they want to take advantage of every single opportunity that's given to them. But I also have students that come here. It's like, I am 1 year behind. I need some hands-on help to get me to where I need to go. So it's like between that and the high achieving, we're able to meet with them and get into where they need to go. Then that's not because of me or the school. That's because of the staff. Because if you don't have, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's tiresome. Mm-hmm. You can't have I'm going to come at work at 7:30 and leave at 3:30 every day. No work goes home. I'm not grading at home. If we had that, won't get those students there. And that's okay if you are an educator like that. But I have such committed staff here that they just want to help. And mm-hmm. what they can do, and every day is different. I could give you a million examples, but that's kind of our philosophy yeah. around here. So,
yeah, and that's fantastic. And when communities know that that's what you want for their kids, it just attracts them. And then word of mouth, right?
Yep.
Word of mouth. That's the best one.
If you don't, it's not like a 100% success rate, right? And I'm like, you will make mistakes along the way. Just because we want to help you, it's okay to embrace the mistakes and move on and use them and go on to your next challenge. So,
wow, 100%. So, one last question. So, Sam, if you could miraculously fix one thing, just one thing, can't be money, in your role as wherever your role is, you know, all of the things that you think about that are your role, if you could just fix one thing that you would never have to deal with again, what would that one thing be?
To make sure everyone feels confident. Both sides, I think that's the way we lose, whether our ways aren't working or our teaching style's not working or students are not doing so well in class. I think it all comes down to self-confidence. They think they're not good enough, they're not teaching good enough, or they're scared to try something new. I think it all comes down to our internal self. So if I'm not confident in myself, I probably won't lead very well. If a student's not confident to go to school, well, I can tell you they might be the ones that are hiding in the bathrooms, right? So I think it would be life-changing, world-changing if we could just bring the confidence up and understand to be confident in yourself. It won't bring perfection, but it will allow us to at least take two steps forward and one step back and so the opposite.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's for sure.
Off the top.
It's a great one.
So
it's a great one. It's a great one. I'll tell you, I tell people, it's like, how do you start your own company? I've asked that question. How do you start your own company? How do you get to where you are, Janet? And it's like, I just kept doing it every day. You just do it every day. You have to believe that this is, I felt like this was what I was being called to do. And I have been called to do it. And I just, every single day, was it easy? Did I feel like every day that it's funny when you put CEO behind your name, when you put CEO, whether you're qualified, in quotes, qualified to be a CEO or not, I feel like I'm a CEO now. I really do. I feel like I have 8 years. I've gotten to the place where it's like, yeah, I get the financials. I get that. I don't always get them right, but I don't get anything always right. Nobody does. No. But you just keep, I used to tell people, fake it till you make it. You just keep doing it. You just keep believing that what you're doing has power, and that there are people that are not going to believe in you. And there are people that are going to go, wow, she's, you know, and when you have that confidence, I love it. I'm going to really age myself right now. Jean-Luc Picard was on a planet somewhere in Star Trek, and he was, whatever this planet was, he was with his medical officer, and I can't remember her name, but, and it was like you could tell other people's feelings based on what they were. And someone's going to go, oh, I know exactly what episode that was or whatever. It's one of those things that stuck with me. And all of a sudden she knew how he was feeling. And she's like, which way do we go? And he's the leader and he's on a planet. He doesn't know anything. He's like, this way. And she stops him and she says, you don't really know. I can tell you don't really know. And he's like, No, I don't know. But that way looks good. So we're going that way. It's just a decision. You know, you just make a decision and you go with it. And remember how I said, if you make a mistake, you admit your mistakes and yes. you go, oh, I screwed up. You have to, when you're a leader like that, you have to go, yeah, it was my decision. You have to own it.
Never hide them. Never hide your mistakes. That's right? No.
Yeah, you can't do it. You hide them. You hide your mistake, and it's gonna be. It's all it's gonna do is grow and blow. You know, it's gonna blow up in your face. So you might as well just go. Yep, that was me. I screwed that up. That was me. I take it. And I'll tell you another thing too. And I feel like I'm on a soapbox here, but
that's fine.
The other thing that you always do with your staff, and I'm sure you do this, is you give them the opportunity to say, "Yep, I made a mistake," but you don't berate them for it. You go. You love them through it and you go, okay, we made a mistake. You made a mistake. We'll fix it and we'll move on.
I agree. I 100% yeah. agree.
Yeah. Well, Sam, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir.
You
and
are.
I don't mean to.
But... No, it all resonates with me. That whole, like my biggest, probably what's helped me, it's weird in my leadership. My wife and I bought a small business. Now we sold it, but 6 years ago, a little sandwich shop in our downtown Hudson. And we didn't know mm-hmm. it was failing really. So we had like 4 years of getting a failing business back up financially. And it was the biggest, like, I'm just going to go with it and learn as I go. And that was really what helped my confidence of just because you kept failing. But if you keep doing it, then finally mm-hmm. 6 years, we saw a little bit of profit. But then I was moving on with my job. So we had to sell it. But like that, those things, I could have easily quit. And just said, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm not over my head. This is way too many mm-hmm. hours. But if it's, that's what it is, just do it again.
Yeah.
Wake up and
just
repeat.
Just keep doing it. So. Yeah. Just keep doing it. Yeah. And that's why you're an executive director. It's obvious that that is exactly why you are where you are, because the kids are going to win because of you. So Sam, it's been a blessing to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being on Brighter Together. Where do people go if they want to learn a little bit more about AFSA and about you?
So we have our website's afsahighschool.com. That you can find a lot of our information there. But if you look up AFSA Charter School, Instagram, Facebook, we're all on the social media side of things. But if you ever want to learn more, you can always contact me.
Awesome. So. And AFSA is AFSA for those of you. Yep. I mean, I know you've said the whole thing, but I wanted to, you know, for those of you that are listening and not on the video or whatever, I just want to make sure people have
it. Yep, so. You're correct. AFSA. But you can probably do it about 15 different ways because we obviously, as our school adapted, our names changed, our websites changed, the URLs. It all, if you Google it, you will get there at
you'll
some point.
Find, we'll find you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Google's amazing. Yeah, for sure. And it's become a verb. A noun that's become a verb. We Google everything. It's a thing. Yeah. You can take any noun and make it a verb. It's kind of fun. So awesome. Well, stay warm. I know that the weather is supposed to be, it's January 22nd right now, and it's supposed to be cold. So stay warm. And thank you once again for being on Brighter Together, because we're brighter together.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.